like the heart pump, whatever, anytime you have a steady flow without interruption, you don't obviously have a pulse beat.
That's right.
And
that's right, the knees rotate, so you don't have a solid flow again.
Well, if it doesn't cavitate, you're all right.
That's right.
Can you put it up horsepower tune to really get a thrust out of it?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
They got lots of push to it.
They have more push, more efficiency, they make a propeller look silly.
Well, this is so new to me, I haven't ever seen this.
Does the pump air also?
Does it do what?
It'll pump air. Anything.
In other words, you got a prop on a plane, replace it.
Well, you would utilize it much as the turbine in a jet engine.
They
you could.
Pump,
it's complicated to do that.
They pump grain, crushed coal, goes in fish and things like that. Quite a pump. It has to be designed for particular applications, so this isn't a pump you go down and buy Jake's Hardware and say, hey, let's go do all these things.
For a specific application.
Yes, the basic principles are the same, but they have to be designed for that application primarily.
Well, see, man is, you have all this competition, and man cannot get accustomed to the idea of change. Even a new concept or an old concept. It's like Mr. Edison and Mr. Tesla. Mr. Edison said that won't work, and the world believed him. It's an interesting set of circumstances that man finds himself locked up into. There isn't any reason that a very small one of these pumps could work in your orchards. You can pump any kind of sludgy mud, any kind of water, any kind of alkaline water. Not going to eat up those pump blades. Once in motion, nothing touches it.
You've got that little Alibaba, which has just got a Honda engine on it. Any of us could pick it up. Go out in the orchard and you've got a muddy pond or something you want to dry out, put it in. But you can't do that with a lot of regular pumps.
I just wonder if Rick really is thinking about blue-green algae.
Excuse me, I did not hear you.
Well, yes.
Thank you. One of your food substances would be cultured chlorella,
cultured,
and algae, blue-green, spirulina.
Doesn't sound very appetizing, but okay.
Well, you can sure pump it with these pumps.
That's for sure.
Actually, you're going to need it if you pump it.
I thought of that, and then I thought of applesauce.
Are you going to be able to aerate your fish ponds?
That's right.
All you need is a cage of wire around it or something. Just keep the fish out of it. Although, if you use the proper size, they're not going to get in it. Or if they do, the babies would go right on through it.
Yeah, that's right.
Imagine those bugs lining up to...
So he goes down to fly.
Gee whiz, Ma.
There's three little fishes in a little pond.
Would this pump out chopped up alfalfa?
It will pump anything.
Yeah.
Gravel.
Yeah.
Coal. You space the blades.
Space the blade properly.
The blades, there are no fins. They are flat discs. And part of your electrical production will come from the embedding of coiled wire on flat copper discs set up very much like a disc pump. And reverse, they are generators. Very, very simple concept.
Beautiful application in geothermal, because a lot of the geothermal, as you know, down in the... is very corrosive.
Oh, yes.
And Jake had a pump operating there for over a year.
They can't keep the pump operable at salt on sea.
No. It's up there. And those pumps, most of the pumps used are Japanese pumps, too.
Now, isn't it interesting? I know that all of you think when you do something that appears very simple, and you say, well, I needn't bother to take this horse because somebody should have thought of this. Don't count on it.
No. That's right.
And if it is simple, and if there's much competition, you're going to have the same thrust of one out there telling people that that will not work. That is no good. You're being sold a bill of goods. If that was so good, the Japanese would be making it. Well, once they get the idea, believe it, they are.
Would you like to hear an interesting story about Jake and the Canadians?
Please. I love the story. I don't like just to talk all the time.
Well, Jake, about 10 years ago, was invited by a consortium of the oil companies. As you may or may not know, Calgary is called the Houston of the North. If you've ever been to Calgary, they have these tall buildings with so-and-so oil company here and so-and-so oil company here. And most of them, because of the weather, they'll have crossovers above the street so that in the middle of the winter when, you know, it's just bitterly cold out there with the cold coming off the Rockies, you can walk around to different ones and be entirely comfortable. Well, anyhow, this group invited Jake to come up because they'd heard about his pumps down in Wyoming. He'd been doing some work down there. Well, he visited in the space of about 4 or 5 days. They sent a plane down to pick him up and take him back. In the space of about 4 or 5 days, he just literally wowed a whole bunch of these different companies. As Eddie Joe and Doris know, he's a very fine raconteur. He can tell a beautiful story, and with great understanding, because he knows so much of the details. So the upshot of the thing is, he left there with a proposal to bid, which meant just send it in to us and let us know what it's going to cost, up to around $50,000. Just, what am I saying, $50,000? I mean $3 million. So he went back and was ready to start rolling, and that's when these mafia dudes came in and threw him out of the company. They thought, hey, look what we've got. And they couldn't swing it. The whole thing collapsed eventually over the next 3 or 4 years. They never did try to get into the Canadian situation. But that's the first occasion when Jake was known as the Phantom of the North. Well, this is a story on which I have copies of the things I'm going to tell you about. Last January of 88, this year, Jake got another call from a group in Vancouver, British Columbia. Much the same approach. We'd like you to come up here and talk to some of the oil companies. So Jake went up at their expense and met this man who was very precise, very autocratic, and said, Mr. Purcell, I'm going to send you my plane over to Calgary with 3 or 4 of my men. And what they're going to do is, they're just going to, when they get over, they're just going to look around and select an oil company, and we're going to go in and send you in there with them. So you're like throwing darts on the wall. So Jake was, oh, all right, if you want me to. So this is, mind you, about 10 years after this prior occasion. So Jake went in. They were in there, the first company. They just selected a company off the bat. He didn't know who it was. And they obviously had just decided it was Joe Blow. They'd go in and see him. Within a couple of hours, Jake had given his presentation, and then he had an order for 2 pumps at around $50,000 apiece. Well, these guys, they were so amazed, they just could hardly believe it. So the next couple of hours, they went to another company just across the way, and Jake sold another pump for around $50,000. Well, they were just outside of themselves. They got to the phone and called us boss back in Vancouver and told him about this already. Well, he said, you got time, try another one. So they tried another one. This time, it was Husky Oil. And they went in, and pretty soon, Jake had sold 3 pumps for sanded-in wells. And one of the guys said to one of the Husky men, he said, say, how many of these sanded in wells do you have? Because they have to close a well down once it's sanded in. How many of these sealed up wells do you got? The guy said, oh, let me think. Oh, about 500. Well, the whole crowd of them went back to Vancouver and reported to this boss of theirs. And the boss said, well, we'll do something about it tomorrow morning. It's late. So the next day, they went right on down to the bank. They talked to the banker, brought out a check. It wasn't a cashier's check. It was a check for $600,000 for Jake to come back down here to San Diego and start building some prototype pumps for the specific purposes. Well, Jake, you know, could hardly stand it. It was really, after all, you don't often see a check made out to your name for $600,000. Well, unhappily, after he deposited, the report was the check was no good. Well, he thought, well, this has been the story of my life. And a day or two later, some of the Royal Mounted Police that correspond to our FBI came in and said, we understand you just got a check from this organization. The upshot of the thing, he learned that the organization had access to a trust fund, but it could not be used for this purpose. So it wasn't entirely illegitimate, but it was a shenanigan that didn't work, let's put it that way. Well, so Jake tossed it off and decided this is just another one of the experiences in life, because he's had quite a few that like that. And about a week later, he got a call from a guy who's a movie actor that plays this Magnum P.I. What's his name?
Selleck.
Tom Selleck. This man said, this is Mr. Selleck. He said, I'm with such and such an oil company. He says, you people made a presentation to us, and we realized that something happened to that situation, but I want you to know we're really interested. And Jake said, what'd you say your name was? He said, I think Mike Selleck or something. Jake says, well, I know your brother Tom, and they laughed, you know, and that kind of thing. But Jake finally said, Mr. Selleck, he said, if you're really serious about this conversation, would you write me a letter to that effect? And so Mr. Selleck did write him a letter, of which I have a copy. I've also got a copy of his $600,000 check. So Jake loves to tell this story, saying, the phantom has returned. In other words, he was there 10 years ago, and he was there again just a year ago. Then what I've told you about that big corporation, that was when that really started to get to heat up. And that's then brought you up to date as far as the Canadian oil situation. It's a tremendous prospect for Jake's pump, just for downhole purposes alone. End of story.
Well, you're going to find a lot of uses for it, not the least of which is cement, friend.
Oh, yes.
A lot of cement.
Oh,
yes,
he has made a concrete pump.
Yes.
It was a
beautiful concrete pump.
Oh, sewage, too.
Yeah.
Well, you can sure use that sand pump. Fresno.
Yeah.
Beach well. We couldn't get anything that would pump the sand.
Is that right?
Yeah. The holes and everything.
Yeah. Jake, on special order, you can shut me off when you heard enough of this. Jake, on special order for the Atomic Energy Commission at one of their big pumping plants, they prescribed, authorized, stamped organization had some problem and couldn't get a pump ready to go into one of the big nuclear reactors. And Jake, they told Jake what the problem was. He designed a pump and built it. I don't know whether Eddie Joe and Doris saw that or not, because it was in his plant at one of the places. And it was a huge thing, relatively speaking. It was about 3 feet in diameter, and the casing was solid, heavy titanium or something of that order. Not exactly, it wasn't titanium, it was a combination of a very special material. And he built it within a phenomenally short time compared to what these other companies could do. And he built it on time, and without any certification, they accepted it and put it in. Now, of course, the big mystery, and I know the pump was there because I saw it, and So I know that Jake delivered that pump and received money for it. But this typical Jake, he built beautiful prototypes, but he was an inventor. He never pursued anything from the point of view of production, never marketed. Always talked about it, but he was so fascinated with innovation. If you came in with a problem and he was about to deliver a pump, he'd sit down and talk to you first. Honest, I've seen him do it. So again, this situation is, I think, especially ripe for the kind of thing we're talking about.
Mm. Yeah. It sounds like it's a natural.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So it sounds like Jake's had all these vicissitudes because of this situation.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I won't argue with that.
You have to get from there to here.
You should be able to pump water with it if you had to.
Well, that's Jake went to a water meeting. Probably he's right there right now in Las Vegas. He said he and his wife are driving up to a pump show because he is interested. He's not really touched water. He's been on all these, shall we say, esoteric areas of pursuit. And, you know, there's a million water pumps in one kind or another, and he hasn't really touched that at all. These other areas are all kind of specialty things where his particular capability almost solely can take care of.
Well, this is why you're going to need some... Oh, I guess we'd call it uninterrupted sources of energy. We're going to have some big generators, standby, diesel. You're going to have the same problems that the coast is the first day. You're going to be needing to work out with your utility, just ask brother in the community, how are we going to shift over from those windmills so that we have power in this town on short notice.
Is there coal in this area? Is there any coal generally?
Not usable. Not yet.
Not yet.
There must be coal here somewhere.
Well, there is, but we're not going to really even think about that. They use quite a lot of coal at the cement company, but they ship it in.
Yeah, right.
You will have every mineral that you need. And that's why a lot of the land around I'm having these ones negotiate for, it is not worth very much.
No.
You can graze a little bit of goats or sheep or cows, but what you're needing it for are the elements.
Well, later on.
You have the very substances in different places around in this area from which we build our craft. So you could be self-sustaining here if you can get in operation, you see. It does not require as much power to power, I'll call it for honor of him, a Corsair pump, as it does a bladed pump. You just don't have one's emotion. It does not require the output of energy. You're going to be able to find great savings by utilizing things like that that will maintain your reserves until other things can be there to function.
Excuse me, Commander. What you're really saying is that this Pocell pump requires less horsepower to drive it. Is that correct?
Okay. Yes.
That's just more efficient.
Much more efficient.
In some cases, not in all cases. But
you have something that happens here. Once you have it into motion, and it is spinning, it acts almost as a suction. The propelling of the fluid through the blades causes it to rather pull itself along. A different principle from your blades. Your fan blades.
Almost like a siphon pulling itself?
Yes. Yes, very similar. Depending on what it is you're pumping.
Like taking a string and starting pulling it on a gyro top.
Yes. Yes.
To some degree, yes.
So you... And any little bit of savings, you see, is going to help you.
There's one other area, from the point of view of energies, that might have some application, and that is, I guess I'm not really talking Jake's pump per se, I'm talking energy source. Do you have large solar availability here in this area? If you do...
Lots of sunshine.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yes, and we are having these ones looking to...
But you'll need space, too, because, of course, if you have large... If you have high concentration of sunshine per day, per year, and space to set it up, you can generate from that... I was thinking of generating electricity in order to form hydrogen. Because...
are you going to separate water?
Say again, please.
Are you going to separate water into hydrogen and oxygen?
Yes, and there are some other principles that I'm not too familiar with where they can generate hydrogen rather than just electrolysis of water. But in any event, let us say we're going to do that. Now, it's a costly process in the sense of using the electrical energy, but it has applications from the point of view of running engines, like running trucks and automobiles and things of that sort, in conjunction with your diesel fuel. And it can be stored, it can be piped. A lot of people throw up their hands in horror because they think of the explosive aspects of hydrogen. But studies have shown that, for example, Rocketdyne, who is most experienced in the use of hydrogen because of their weapons work, has never had a real accident in hydrogen because it's always going overhead rather than lying down around the body or the feet because of its lightness. So they have really said that we could probably shift to a hydrogen instead of a gasoline energy society because we have the pipeline systems already built.
If we can get free energy, we don't have to fool with that junk. Free electrical energy.
I'm sorry, John, I can't hear you.
If we can get free electrical energy, we wouldn't have to fool with hydrogen.
Well, I'm thinking of it in terms of...
the path.
I'm thinking in terms of it of being available for storage for automobiles and trucks and things. As opposed to your electrical energy directly. So...
I work with hydrogen. It takes 5-inch thick walls, steel walls, for heat transfer equipment.
Yes, but you don't necessarily have to compress it. You don't necessarily have to liquefy it.
You get it up to about 10,000, 15,000 pounds per square inch.
Well, that's for liquefaction, though, is it not?
Yeah.
See, I'm talking about pumping hydrogen at some modest pressures, but not certainly liquefying.
Well, it's...
Anyhow, it's just a thought.
Yeah, it's an idea.
That's right. We shouldn't overlook it.
Yeah. It's coming online now. You know, they're talking about hydrogen-propelled aircraft now. Hypersonic.
Are they?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It was in the SAE Journal about 2 months ago.
Well, you have plenty of it around.
Excuse me, plenty of what?
Hydrogen.
Oh, yes, indeed.
Yep.
And non-polluting when it burns, too, kids.
That's right, hit water.
That's right, you just sprinkle the air.
You can't get rain any other way. You just
can't
have enough
that.
Planes flying around burning the
hydrogen. That's right.
Well, your problem is the oil companies are not going to let you do it.
I don't know.
At least not yet.
I don't know. I just have a... I have a feeling that the supremacy of the oil companies is on the wane.
Well, unfortunately, they are controlled by the gray men.
Commander, do you think that the oil companies are going to have as much power as they have now, say, 8 years from now, when things really get disrupted economically?
Well, 8 years I don't know how to talk time. 8 years may be a short time, so that the changes might not be dramatic. But I think...
Well, the earth changes are going to really disrupt them.
That's right.
You have this happening first because of the greed involved. You will be told there is great, great shortage.
Yeah, just like they did before.
Just exactly like they did before. There's truly a glut. But you will be told that it is scarce. The price will skyrocket, and it will, if it is not rationed, it will be long lines back to the little cars. They will play their hand at this. While they're doing this, and while it is a favored subject of the government, what can we do about this gas shortage? They will reinstitute some of your alternative energy premiums, benefits. So there will come another series of time where you'll get even a little bit of governmental help. But once again, you're going to have the frauds that come in with the poor equipment because it will be a tax shelter. But in the guise of while all of this is in upheaval, you will be able to do quite a lot of building. And some good products will come forth.
Yeah, we've got a good start.
What they're just about to do, you see, is back themselves into a corner. Eventually, and this is very true of the American human, he works better under duress. He will unify in crisis, and he becomes very innovative. And if they aren't careful, man will come forth with something that puts them out of business, and they'll be had while they're playing their own greedy game. And when it comes forth in massive way, you're safe. They'll almost have to get on the bandwagon, just as they have with some of these solar installations.
Mm-hmm.
Photovoltaic sets. If they want to be in the game, they've got to play the game. But this is why you don't want the magnificent machinery to come forth, because they would take it. And then it will be controlled. And if it causes them too much grief, it will be taken, it will be put aside, and you won't be able to do anything about it. It's happened over and over and over again. They'll tell you that it didn't work. You'll get all sorts of answers.
Well, we can't disregard the impetus that was given at the last time to these new sources.
That's right.
And so many of them have sustained and grown, not the least of which is the conversion of corn to alcohol. And
yes, and we have one in our circle, in our group, who comes now to grow apples. But he's very instrumental and very knowledgeable about biomass.
Growing apples for what purpose?
For food, here in this little town.
Okay.
And it's a good apple.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
And like so many others, this precious one lost his shirt in that business. But it would be worth it to him, because he would be able to reutilize that information. You can have a lot of cellulose, a lot of biodegradable matter from fields. that really is not too good to plow under. Doesn't do very much.
I can't remember. I made a proposal to the government during that period based on the planning. Here I'm having trouble remembering the name of the material, but it's a plant that's widely used in the tropics. And it is a carbohydrate, not a protein, unfortunately, but it has, percentage-wise, it's the plant from which tapioca comes. Almost said it. I'll think
taro?
Of it. Huh?
Taro?
Say again?
Taro?
Excuse me.
Is it a taro?
No. No, it's not that. But it's all, I got into this to such a degree, I was, if I could have gotten a contract, I was going to go down near Brownsville, where there was a lot of land that was owned by the ranchers that they did nothing with except let the cattle roam. And what they were really doing, they were saving it for potential oil underground. It's the plant from, as I say, from which tapioca comes, and I'm sorry I can't recall
tapioca.
At the moment. But it's widely.
I read that years ago, but I can't remember either.
But its carbohydrate density per acreage is much higher than corn or any of those things.